Amen, amen, amen. I'm going to do something a little bit different this morning in regards to the order of our service. We're going to go ahead and receive this morning's tithe and offering. And if you want to grab this little envelope that's right there in front of you, a small envelope that's going to have a great impact in your life. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Man, Bob, I like that coat. What size is it? I feel a seed coming on. Praise God. Amen. You can't walk up in here like that, man. Red, black, white, shoot. Amen. Looking sharp this morning, Bob, as everybody is. Amen. Everybody's looking good this morning. As you're preparing your seed there with the envelope, I'm going to read to you a passage of Scripture out of 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and it's a favorite Scripture of mine in regards to giving, because he says here in verse number 6, he says, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart. So he's saying that whether you give bountifully or if you give sparingly, he says that it's a decision on your part in how you want to move forward in this. But he says that whichever one you choose to operate in is the one that's going to respect and yield back to you, for with the same measure you give, it shall be measured back to you again. Amen. He says, so let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Now look here, we make no distinction between large seeds or small seeds. We receive them all. Amen. But if whatever you're going to sow, do it with a smile on your heart. Amen. Now, we believe that we understand the operation of the tithe, which is a tenth of our income, and we believe in that. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
I didn't need to ask for that, but I just want everybody to know that we are tithers in this place, right? And then we give our offerings as well, because it says in verse number 8 that if I'll choose where I'm going to be in my giving, and if I do it with the right heart, and I do it as a cheerful giver, then verse number 8 says this, and God is able, everybody say he's able, to make all grace, that word grace can be translated as ability, having all sufficiency, meaning that I have enough in all things. Amen? Let's say this. So say this with me. I have ability so that I'm sufficient in all things. Can we do that one more time? Okay, let's go back and do it one more time. Let's say it this way. I have ability so that I am sufficient in all things. Now listen to me. You can say that with $0 in your bank account.
Come on, Pastor.
Because your bank account has nothing to do with the promise of God's word. God can convert zero and negative into positive and abundance if you'll but obey the word of God. Amen. You're in a place of people, you're in a place as a result of people who have obeyed God's word concerning giving.
Yes.
Amen? The only reason I'm in the kingdom of God today is because some people before I showed up was doing what they needed to do in regards to giving for me to hear the gospel message. So never underestimate what God can do with your seed. Amen? He says in verse number 10, he says, now may he who supplies seed, who? He, meaning God, who does what? Supplies seed to the sower. So listen to me. He's telling us here that it's not your employer that is the supplier of your seed. Amen? God is the supplier of your seed. He may use your job to get you the paycheck so that you can give seed out of that. But let me tell you, God is the one who helped get you the job. Amen? And if you're done at that job, now how do you know if you're done at a job? Because you done witnessed to everybody that's at the job. You've already told everybody about Jesus, and they've either accepted him or they've rejected him, and it's time for you to move on. Make your work about kingdom business. Amen? So that you're not going there to get a job. You're going there to bring the kingdom, and in that, let God bless you. And I have seen people who went to work at companies as employees to only end up owning multi-million-dollar businesses, praise God.
Yes.
Seen it, praise the Lord. He says, now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. While you are enriched in everything with all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. Amen? So what he's telling us is that we will be enriched as a result of our giving in a liberal way, which causes people to give praise to God. I'm still getting texts and emails and messages from Facebook of the people in the Philippines. I got a message this morning where a person said, Pastor, we thank you for coming. And she said that my niece gave her life to the Lord yesterday, which would have been Sunday on their time. Now, come on, somebody say amen. Amen. But you know, we went because it was under the direction of the Holy Spirit that we went there, but it was through your giving that made that possible. And we've just seen that. I had another pastor write to me. He says, Pastor, since you came to the church, we've been in full-blown revival. Ever since you... Now watch this. It ain't me. It's not me. Amen. It's the Holy Ghost doing the work. He's just looking for some willing people to go and spark something and get something started in another place, praise God. So we have to understand then that there's nothing in... I can't say that big old word, Lord. Inconsequential. I got it, didn't it? Y'all got to know where I'm from, right? Right. So he says here, he says it will cause thanksgiving through us to God. He says for the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but is also abounding through many thanksgivings to God. Amen. Amen. And so whenever you give, you're creating an opportunity for somebody else to praise God through your giving. Amen. And we're constantly reaching out to people and we're constantly doing things to help and be a blessing to people because we are the ones who have the basket pouring into other people's lives. I speak that word over your life, that you're not the one being poured into, you're the one pouring into others. Out of your abundance, praise God. Amen. And as a result of that, we're robbing the devil the right to tell people that God doesn't care about you because the church won't help meet your needs. No, no, no. We're helping meet the needs of the kingdom of God, depriving the devil the right to tell people that God doesn't care about them. Amen. Amen. So our giving is very, very powerful. And so I encourage you to do it with a cheerful heart and do it in faith. Amen. Everybody say faith.
Faith.
Faith that God can change your circumstance. Praise God. You know, somebody's going to win the lotto. Might as well be y'all. Amen. Can I get a better amen than that?
Amen.
Amen. What would you do with $100 million? Listen to me. I don't care what you do with $100 million. Just pay your tithe. Just pay your tithe. Amen. And we'll see that happen. So we're going to say our faith confession. Let's do it. This is my tithe and offering. I sow my seed in faith in order to honor God, meet the needs of this ministry. Therefore, I receive my needs supplied and met by the riches of his glory. And I live life to the full, in abundance, to the overflow in 2016. Now look here, put both hands on it. We're going to pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we touch and agree this morning concerning our giving. We know it's not a light thing. We know it's not just a thing that we do. But, Father, we're sowing seed into the kingdom of God. We ask that you bless it and multiply it, Father God, for the sake of the kingdom. Let people come to know who you are through our giving. Let other people be enriched and let other lives be touched through our giving, Father God. Cause the amount given to do so much more than what can be done in the natural, Father God. And, Lord God, I pray as a pastor that you would cause this seed to be multiplied and come back into the life of the giver today, Father God. Pressed down, shaken together, running over in good measure, that this would take place in the lives of your people as a testimony to how good and how great your promises are in our life. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen, amen. Amen. They're going to receive that this morning. And and so we'll give them just a second to do that. As they're doing that, I would just make an announcement to you this morning that, number one, let me just welcome everybody for being here today. And then number two, we also need volunteers for our Broken Bread Ministry on Wednesday night. Need to see Misty, who's waving her hands frantically right there, that this is where we feed. We've been feeding up to 50, 60 people on a Wednesday night free of charge. And if you want to be a part of that, we're asking you to come and volunteer. Go see her about that. Our women's conference. Everybody say women's conference. It's going to be coming up here before too long. I think we're doing it in September. September, we're doing it in September, and they're having a planning meeting, a strategy meeting, July the 1st, which would be this coming Friday. They're asking everybody to bring finger food and other stuff of that nature, and so please do that. Also, if you believe that you can sing, I'm sorry, if you know that you can sing, and others have heard you sing, and they know you can sing, I want you to see, you can see Misty because Susan's out there with the teenager, with the children's ministry today. But see Misty as well. Give her your name. We'll get in contact with you. But we're looking to develop our praise and worship team a little bit more. And so we're just going to ask that if you, now watch this, we're going to make you audition, right? Because you see those people who go on American Idol, right? And so we're going to encourage you to have an audition so that we can do that. But we want to expand that out, and we want you to be a part of it. So make sure you see Misty again. She can help you take care of that. Amen? Now, if you have your Bibles this morning, go with me to Acts chapter 2, and praise the Lord. You know, I'm always challenged with having more content than I have time. Amen? And that's going to be the case today. I've actually got four things that I want to talk to you about, but I only have two in my notes today, and we may get to one. And so because we've been talking about discovering your spiritual life, amen, we've been in this season here for the last 4, 5, 6 weeks talking about discovering your spiritual life, and I really don't think that we can talk about or complete this series if we don't deal with this one aspect, which really is not very prevalent in churches anymore. It is maybe within some groups or whatever, but you can't really move out of this series if we're not going to first talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Amen? Oh, amen. And so we want to deal with that just a little bit, and I think that we have some insight into that. I do believe there's four manifestations of the Holy Spirit in a person's life, and the first manifestation that we want to deal with today is the manifestation of the Holy Spirit that we can see that's relative to the church, which happened on the day of Pentecost. Amen? Now, let me just say this to you. The Word of God teaches us that we must be born again of the Spirit, right? And that we should live a life filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen? Now we can see the progression and the order of Scripture where we're first introduced to God the Father. The Holy Spirit was there with him. And really, to be honest with you, the Son was there as well. But if you just read in the context of the Scripture, Jesus shows up in the New Testament. Amen? And so he comes, he dies on the cross for our sins, and then he's resurrected. Now, it's very important that you just don't stop at the cross. Amen? That you can follow the life of Jesus up to the cross. And sometimes, you know, people just want to get to the cross and camp there. You do have to come to the cross because the cross represents the place where we bring repentance into our life. It's where we recognize the love and the opulent love of the Father in that Christ died for us while we were yet sinners to demonstrate his love for us. Romans chapter 5 tells us that. Can you say amen? Amen. And so, but you have to move on from the cross because the story doesn't end at the cross. Amen. Some 3 days later, as Mary and Martha went into the tomb to go and visit the body of Jesus, the stone was already rolled away, praise God. The tomb was empty, and we have to understand that the tomb really is empty and that what we live in today is in resurrection power. Amen. I'm glad y'all are excited about that. You know, we should not be living in discouragement and depression and all of these other things because we have the opportunity to live in the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. Amen. It didn't stop at the grave. It didn't stop at the tomb. Amen. The Bible says that if the same Spirit dwell in your mortal body that raised Christ Jesus from the dead, meaning that the same Holy Ghost that was with Jesus and brought him back to life, how much more will it bring you back to life? Amen. We shouldn't be living, we shouldn't be living for a God who is alive as though we were dead. Amen. And so we have to understand that while we need the fullness of the Godhead, we have to come to this place that really what we can read in scriptures is that one of the first things that God did for the church and what Jesus promised would happen to the church is that after his resurrection and then some 50 days after that was what they call the day of Pentecost, right? And that he promised that he was going to send the Holy Spirit. Now, we're not going to talk about, you know, really everything that the Holy Spirit does today, but we're going to talk about really what happened as a result of the Holy Spirit coming into the lives and people of the church. Amen. Amen? And so once we understand the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives, then we can begin to walk in the fullness of the Spirit, which is really a significant life. Amen? Now, I would just say this today. Let me pastor for just a little bit, okay? Is that I believe that really most people don't live in the fullness of the Spirit. Even those who have been baptized in the Spirit, I don't think they live in the fullness of the Spirit because they're so wrapped up in what's going on in the world. And that really has nothing to do with the Spirit's ability, and sometimes it doesn't even have anything to do with us. We would all want to live in the fullness of the Spirit. But see, we haven't been taught that. Right? We have this pre-Jesus script that we have before we came to the Lord, and then we try to continue that lifestyle on after we've been born again, and we're met with this frustration because we're dealing with, you know, where we're going to live and what we're going to eat and our needs and our problems and our challenges, and very quickly, because we've never really been trained in how to do it through spiritual means, we go back to mental assertions and mental ideas and how to live out a spiritual life, and you're only going to be frustrated whenever you do that. God is a spirit, and we are a spirit. Amen? And there's a way that he wants us to live. There's a way he wants us to function. And if we get out of the way, which is really the kingdom way, amen? It's the kingdom way. And so there's a spiritual kingdom that's within me and that's in the earth, but I've got to understand the principles of it in order for me to put those into my life so that I get the results he wants me to get, which ultimately should be Romans chapter 10, verse number 17 says that the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Yeah. Amen. Our lives should be marked by peace. It should be marked by having joy. Even when we're going through stuff. Because we understand the stuff that we're going through is only making us better, not making us weaker. Come on now. Somebody needs to say amen. Amen. I thought for years to go through a trouble and a trial was something that was a negative in my life, but I found out that if the troubles and trials in my life were only making me stronger for the next adventure God had for me. Amen. If you don't go to the gym and work out, you can't show up in some place and try to lift 1,000 pounds. It takes some time to get there. You got to go through step number one and step number two so that whenever the right time comes and your moment arrives, you're prepared to do what God has asked you to do. So go ahead and embrace the pain of life. Embrace the trials of life. Embrace the trauma of life, because what doesn't kill me only makes me stronger. And I know that I cannot be killed if God doesn't want me out of the picture. Amen? Amen? So bring it on, devil. We can handle you. Jesus handle you. I can handle you, praise God. Oh, be careful, Brother Steve, talking about the devil like that's going to get him mad. I hope he get mad. Amen? He come and attack me. He's not attacking me. He's attacking the one in me. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world, praise God. Amen? Now, the Bible tells us that the devil is as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He's looking for some folk who don't know that the greater one lives on the inside of them. So that whenever he brings persecution into their life, they revert back to their mental process of how they used to handle it, and then they get discouraged and depressed because they don't know why they're going through what they're going through. Amen? They don't put purpose to their pain. Amen? They don't realize how to put purpose to their pain. And as a result of that, they think that what they're going through is going to kill them. But there's no trouble that you're going through today that it doesn't get better tomorrow. Amen? It always gets better tomorrow. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. You say, well, you know, Pastor, I thought that until my loved one passed away. No. It got better for him. It got better for him, praise God. Amen? Sometimes we don't understand everything, but I tell you this, that nobody who dies in Christ loses. Amen?
Amen.
If you believe in hell, you better believe in heaven.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So we see then that the Word of God teaches us that we must be born again and that we should live a life filled with the Holy Spirit. And I think there's several signs or there's some evidence that we can see in a person's life if they're living in the fullness of the Spirit, right? And so the very first manifestation of the Holy Spirit we can see relative to the church is on the day of Pentecost. And that's where I want to take you into Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, we're going to look there. Now watch this. Don't get all freaked out because we're going to be talking about the baptism of the Holy Ghost and tongues and stuff like that. I know you haven't been in churches that really talk about that anymore, but we're not going to throw anything on you.
Come on.
Amen. We're not going to make you do anything crazy. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. I want to know what the Bible says. And I'm going to be in the Word of God. Amen. You can have your ideas about whatever you want to have your ideas about, but I'm going to go by what the Bible says. Teach me thy word so that I may not lie to myself. Let it be a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I've hidden thy word in my heart so that I may not sin against you. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. So he tells us here in Acts chapter 2 and verse number 1, he says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord and in one place. And suddenly, everybody say suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And let me just stop right there and just say this to you, is that number one, the sound from heaven, it was a sound, but sometimes people want to associate physical things with the reality of the Holy Spirit. This may have been a sound that the Holy Spirit created in being poured out from heaven onto the earth, but the sound was not the Holy Spirit. Amen? The rushing mighty wind was not the Holy Spirit, right? Even the divided tongues as of fire was not the Holy Spirit, because it says even though that was taking place, the Holy Spirit came in them, right? Now watch this. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and, everybody say and, began, watch this, to speak with other tongues, or it's actually, it can be translated as different languages, amen, as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, you can think whatever you want to think about tongues, but everybody in that room received it. Now, watch this. If you take your Bible and you go over here to Matthew, don't turn there, but let me do this this morning with you, because I want to make you comfortable and I want you to understand that we're simply talking about a concept and a principle that's in the Word of God. Amen. And I think there's a reason for that. Do you know that God doesn't do anything just to do something? There's always a reason behind it. Amen. And so if you were to look at your Bible from really where it says the New Testament right there, right, which would be there in Matthew, and then all the way to Revelation chapter 22, all of this was written by those people except for one, and that would be Paul, because I think Luke was in that upper room. But all this right here was written by people who spoke in tongues. Amen. So if you get into a group of people who hate tongues, then you're getting into a group of people who want to reject what all these people had. Amen? Now watch this. If they needed it, I think I need it. Amen? If God started that with them, then I think he needs to finish that in me too, praise God. Amen? Because, you know, for whatever, and I think there's a reason why God did that, and we'll look at that. I don't want to really get ahead of myself, but the church was birthed on this day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Now, there's several things there that the Lord had told them over in Acts chapter 1, last chapter of Luke, where he tells them that you need to go and tarry into Jerusalem, at Jerusalem, until you be endued with power from on high, until you receive the promise of the Holy Spirit. Amen? So Jesus was very clear that they needed to receive the Holy Spirit. Now, let me say this to you. The Holy Spirit is not tongues. Amen? This was just the particular manifestation of the Holy Spirit having come into a person's life that they began to speak in other languages. Amen? Now, it goes on to say here that as they were doing this, they appeared to be drunk, right? They were under the influence of the Holy Spirit. And I've never been drunk in the Spirit, as it were. I've seen people who were. I've been touched by the Holy Spirit on one particular occasion in my experience with God. And I've said this before, but, you know, I'm not a really big guy about falling down, and I'm not trying to chase some experience with God. You know, I don't need him to knock me out every two or three times and every two or three days and all of that stuff. But whatever God gives me, I want it to be real. I have no time for peanut butter Christianity. I don't know why I said peanut butter, but it's just some old crazy kind of, people demonstrating things out of the flesh to maybe make people think that they're spiritual. Amen. So I'm not really interested in that because, I got too much going on in my life and I'm fighting too many devils to be playing around with stupid stuff that don't matter. Amen. I was over in the Philippines and we preached at one church and I bet there was 150 people there and it seemed like everybody I laid hands on, every one of them went to the ground. And I'm willing to say that, now watch this, I could come in here and I could say this to you. I was so spiritual, I went over and laid hands on 150 people and they was all laid out. And I could make myself look better, right? But I had nothing to do with that. And by and large, in my experience, what happened in that moment was more of a trained response. This is what they had been taught and how they'd been taught to respond to people laying hands on them. Amen? And because and out of my 26 years with the Lord, I've had about two different experiences where the power of God touched me in such a way that it was more than I could take. It was more than I could handle. And it was one particular night on a Wednesday night. Everybody say Wednesday night. See, whenever you miss Wednesday night church, you don't know what you're missing. Hey, all my Wednesday night people say amen. Amen. And so we had been in praise and worship, and we was worshiping God, and we was clapping, and the Spirit of the Lord was in the house. And we had just such a great, sweet time with the Lord. And the pastor came up, and it was time to move on in the service, and he had everybody sit down. But whenever we all sat down, there was probably about 400 or 500 people in this particular service. There was a brother way up in the front that stood up. And he was like still caught up in the joy of the thing. And he was clapping like he was giving the Lord a standing ovation. And in my spirit, I was like, that brother's not going to outdo me in worshiping God. And so I stood up and I got right here and I was fixing to clap louder than that brother. Right? Because that's just how I am. Right? You're not going to do it more than me because I love Jesus. He done something real for me. Amen. And whenever I got right there, I'm telling you, it's no less than this. And I was not asking for it. I wasn't thinking about it. I wasn't looking for it. I was just going to praise God too. But I had an uncle growing up who, he was the uncle who, if anything bad happened to the kids, he was the guy, right? He had been set on fire. He had been run over by a plow and disc. It was all kind of, he's still alive today. He's going to outlive them all. But he was the one, and one day my uncle was holding on to a post that my grandfather was driving into the ground from the back of a truck, and he had this sledgehammer, and he was coming over hitting this thing. Well, one time whenever he came over, the sledge came off of the end and hit my uncle on the head and knocked him out. But he got back up. He's okay. They didn't go see the doctor back in those days, right? My grandfather said, "You all right?" He got back up and grabbed the pole again, right? But this particular night in church, it was no less than that. It was like the Holy Spirit come with a sledgehammer and hit me in my head with an energy and an electricity that went through all the way down to my waist. And it hit me so hard that if I hadn't had a pew in front of me, I would have hit the ground, literally, because the first thing that left was the strength in my knees, and I buckled under, and I grabbed the pew in front of me, and I fell back. And as this, and I don't know why that it stopped right here. I still don't know why it stopped right there. But the residual effect of that energy hitting my body was there was this tremendous awareness of the presence of God, and there was a peace that I couldn't understand that suddenly filled my heart and filled my mind, and I had these big old crocodile tears, hot crocodile, that just like come pouring out of my eyes. And I couldn't even say nothing. I was just like, I didn't know what to do. And I looked around. There was nobody else that experienced that, right? So I know that that's real. I know it's real for me. I know that I experienced that in my life. And it's real for people to have this experience with God in a very tangible way. But I think that if a person pursues trying to have a tangible experience all the time, well, then they become addicted to something that's really not real. Amen? I have found in my life that ministry and living for God is a whole bunch of work with moments of glory. Amen. Now, there's coming a time where the glory is going to be all around us. Amen? But I don't want to chase something down here whenever he tells me to be busy about my master's work, to occupy until he returns. Amen? And so that's why whenever we come into a service, it's really my heart to teach you, to equip you, to go do the work of the ministry so that while you're doing the work of the ministry, you have these moments of glory that show up and just nobody can take credit for that. It's just you in his presence and God is blessing you like nobody's business. Amen? Amen. But I wouldn't want to catch myself trying to pursue the glory and forget about lost people. Yeah. Pursue the glory and not care about hungry people. Amen. So it's the ministry that's first. It's the working of the ministry in our lives that's first. And then this other stuff that we seek from God, it just comes. Your work in the ministry is a natural attraction to the glory of God. Because God doesn't want you to serve him out of a place of depletion in your life. He wants you to serve out of a place of abundance in your life. And I tell you, that night, I walked in that thing for 3 or 4 or 5 days. But it's like this. Anytime the Lord touches you, you're never the same after that. Something in you has changed a little bit. Something's a little bit different from that point on. And so we have these moments where we experience a very real and very, very powerful thing with the Lord. And each time that happens, we're changed a little bit more. There's something added to us and something that becomes deeper in our lives, praise God. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Now, we see that the church was born on this day, on the day of Pentecost, and one of the marks of the Holy Spirit filling their life was that they spoke with other tongues. And I said this, the Holy Spirit is not tongues, but it was evident in this particular situation. Amen? Now watch this. Let's go over here to Acts chapter 2. Okay, we're already in Acts chapter 2. Go with me to verse number 37. Acts 2 and verse number 37. Now, you know, you can read the rest of Acts there, and it'll tell you that God is simply doing what he had promised, that he was going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh. Amen? And he has done that. Amen? The reason that he could do that, y'all going to make me run out of my time this morning. The reason he could pour out his spirit upon all flesh is because what was one of the things that Jesus did? One of the things that Jesus did through his death, burial, and resurrection was, number one, he broke the power of sin. And then in this case, watch this, in this case, the illustration we have in the Old Testament was that anytime that God visited Moses, he would tell Moses to not let the children of Israel come close because they were an unholy people. And he says, if they get into my presence, my holiness will consume them and they will die. But see, whenever you read over in Hebrews 8, 9, and 10, and I hope you read your Bible because it says over there that Jesus, whenever he died for sins, he died for the sins of the world one time. And he paid the price. And whenever he paid that price, what he did was that he released his righteousness into the world. And so now, as a result of grace, everybody say grace. As a result of grace. Now watch this. Moses was just as unholy as the children of Israel. But God, as an act of his own judgment, says, Moses, I accept you, even though you don't deserve it. Grace. But those, they have to stay away. Well, whenever Jesus died, he paid for the sins of everyone, thereby releasing righteousness into the earth. So now, guess what? The Holy Spirit can come because there's righteousness in the earth. Amen? There's holiness in the earth, praise God. Everybody said amen. Amen. Now watch this. Acts chapter 2, verse number 37. It says, now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent. Do what?
Repent.
And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you, to your children, and to all. Everybody say to all. Who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. Amen? So this Holy Spirit that he's talking about here, and if you're going to keep it in context, you have to go back over here to verse number 4. The same Holy Spirit that he's talking about is to us as much as it was to them. Amen? So we're not trying to conjure up something. We have a promise. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, you have a promise. Amen. Can I take a 1 minute break here? Can I take a 1 minute break here? I can take a 1 minute break. Our new AC is that we flipped a breaker. Got it. All right, so I didn't need to take a break. I got good people helping, praise God. Okay, back to it. Let's get spiritual again. Let's go to Acts chapter 10. Now look, I'm not going to give you anything that's not in the Word of God. Amen. And I want to show you this out of the Word of God. Acts chapter 10, verse 34. Over here. There's one there and one over there. I bought this new AC unit. We're all feeling good in here today, aren't we?
Amen.
So it's just putting some work on our. We didn't know what it was going to do, so it did what it did. You in the back are just more spiritual than us because y'all are just back there. And verse 34. Look what it says here. It says, "Then Peter opened his mouth and he said, 'In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality.'" Now you have to understand the story. Peter has been summoned by the Holy Spirit to go to the house of Cornelius, who was a Gentile. And the Bible tells us that the whole reason that God chose Cornelius was because, number one, he prayed. Number two, he gave. Amen. He did what? He prayed and he gave. And can I really mess with you this morning? It was his prayer and money that got God's attention. I'll go back and say it another way. It wasn't really his money. It was what he was willing to do with his money. Amen. Now that's in the Word of God. You can just read it there from verse 24 down to verse number 33, and it will tell you that, right? Now watch this. He says, "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, 'In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality.'" Now one of the issues about Peter was Peter really had a hard time struggling to break over from being a Jew trying to go to the Gentiles. Right? That's really why if you read in the book of Acts, you'll see Peter at the very beginning. But then after about verse number 8, 9, 10, right through there, whenever Paul comes onto the scene, Peter begins to fade away because Paul didn't care about his Jewish heritage as much as he cared about declaring the gospel. And he even said that I am an apostle to the Gentiles. Amen? But Peter was a part of the Holy Spirit coming to the Gentiles. Because he goes on to say here, he says in verse 35, "But in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him." Verse 36, it says, "The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ our Lord. He is Lord of all." Amen. Verse 37, he says, "That word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea." So watch this. He's now, this scripture is referring back to the 3 years of ministry that Jesus had before he was crucified. And he's telling Cornelius that, you know what Jesus did, how he healed, how he delivered, how he set free, how he died, and how he was raised again, right, from the dead. He says here, "That word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached." When did it begin? After what? Which John did what? Preached. So let's just go back a little bit. And let's go to where Jesus is at being baptized. There's two events that happened there. John says, "I don't need to baptize you. You need to baptize me." But Jesus said, "Let's fulfill all unrighteousness or all righteousness." And he submitted to the baptism of John. So I would just say this. If you've never been baptized, you ought to be baptized in water. Because it's symbology in the kingdom of God. I don't have time to get into it, but you can go read Romans chapter 6 to really know and understand what that means. But there was a second event that was very, very important. Why did Jesus never do miracles? And you can read all kind of crazy books and stuff about what he did as a child, but there's no recorded in Scripture of Jesus ever doing a miracle until after he was baptized. Amen. Because verse number 38 gives us insight how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now watch this. If you take Philippians chapter, can we go there? Can we do that? Come on. I don't have it in my scripture, but go with me to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Turn over there with me real quick. And I want to show you something in the Word of God. Philippians, or actually maybe chapter 2. I'm sorry. It is chapter 2. And we're going to do verse 5, 6, 7, and 8. Okay? Verse 5, 6, 7, and 8. If you're there, say amen. Okay, look what it says here in verse number 5. He says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." All right, stop right there. Watch this. The other translation will say, "Let this attitude," right? He says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." So where was this attitude at first? It was in Christ, and he's telling us to do what? Let how he thought about this, you think about it the same way.
Right. That's right.
Amen? And I like to push people in their faith and their understanding. Now watch this, watch this. So here's the attitude that he had. Who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. Now, watch this. He said in verse number 5, he says that attitude that was in Jesus needs to be in you. Verse number 7, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant or a man, and coming in the likeness of men. Amen? And verse number 8, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. What did he do? Became obedient to the point of death, even the death on the cross. Now watch this. You have to understand that Jesus told him, he says, look, nobody takes my life. He says, I lay my life down. Amen? He says, the enemy's coming for me, but there's nothing in me that belongs to him. So whatever's going to take place, it's because I'm letting it take place. Amen? He says here that he humbled himself and became obedient. Now watch this. This is what that means. That even though he was Jesus, the Son of God, was there before the foundations of the world, had all power, authority, had everything, was everything, came down to the earth and made himself live like a man. Amen? Meaning that at any point that he was hungry, he could have said, food, poof, and he would have had food. But he didn't do that because he subjected himself to be like us. So he didn't do anything from the position of his position in heaven. He did everything that he did as a man born of a woman. So if he was hungry, he had to cook his meal. He chose to cook his meal. He didn't have to. He could have called manna down from heaven. Amen? Now, it's important to get this because we think sometimes because of what Jesus did, well, if we could only be like Jesus or as Jesus, then we could do those things too. But it tells us here that he chose to come as a man and live as a man, meaning that he didn't bring who he was there and live like that here. Everybody got that with me? So then how did he raise the dead? How did he heal the blind? Because he didn't do that as the one who sat on the throne. Because he chose to humble himself and become like us. So I wonder how he did that. I wonder how he could touch the deaf ear, cause leprosy to leave, and do all of these things in life. Because after all, I thought because he was Jesus, the Son of God, he would do those things. Acts chapter 10. And look what it says in verse number 38. If you're there, say amen. Amen. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the and with
power.
Amen. And with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. The same Holy Spirit that descended on Jesus the day that he was baptized is the same Holy Spirit that's come into your life and living in you. What Jesus did, he did not do as the Son of God. He did it as the Son of Man, anointed with the Holy Spirit. And if you believe in these things, greater works shall you do. Amen? See, we don't understand what was loosed on the inside of us whenever we received the Holy Spirit into our lives. There's a greater dimension of power living on the inside of you if you'll begin to open up your mind and open up your heart to believe that God wants to do extraordinary things through you. We need the help of the Holy Spirit, though. Amen? Now watch what he says here, verse number 39. And it says, we were all witnesses of these things, which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, and whom they killed by hanging on a tree. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not all the people, but the witnesses chosen before by God, even to us who ate and drank with him, and after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and of the dead. Verse 43, he says, to him all the prophets witness. That through his name, whoever believes in him will receive the remission of sins. Amen. And then verse number 44, this is what you got to catch. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. Amen. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also.
Right.
Amen. Now watch this. This is how they knew it happened. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. And then Peter answered, can anyone forbid water? And that they should not be baptized because they received the Holy Spirit just as we have. Amen? So then we have to understand then that whenever the Holy Spirit showed up relative to what we see in Acts, that speaking in tongues was accompanied with it. Amen? Everybody said amen. All right, I'm glad y'all excited this morning. Acts chapter 19. My clock tells me I got 5 minutes, but I need another. I'm not going to tell y'all. That's all right. Acts chapter 19, and let's look at verse number 1. Acts chapter 19, here's another example for us. And look what it says here. And it happened, if you're there, say amen. And it says, it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus and finding some disciples. He said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And so they said to him, we have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. So these were people who had believed, but they didn't know really if there was a Holy Spirit or not. Verse number 3, and he said unto them, into what then were you baptized? So they said, into John's baptism, talking about John the Baptist, and it was a baptism unto repentance. Verse number 4 says, then Paul said, John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, and that is on Christ Jesus. Amen. Verse 5, then when they had heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, what did he do? The Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. And he says, now the men were about 12 in all. Amen. So it says here that whenever they received the Holy Spirit in this particular fashion, it was evidence, or it was there as a result of speaking in tongues. They heard them saying that, or speaking in another language. Amen. Now, does everybody get what we're saying right there? We see where the Scripture says talking or speaking in tongues can be and is associated with receiving the baptism, the immersion in the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, the Bible tells us over in Luke chapter 11, I believe, that if we being good know how to give good gifts, how much more your heavenly Father will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. Amen? Now, let me just stop and just say this to you. Just let me make a little side note here, is that God loves you. He accepts you and he approves you. Amen? So whenever you ask the Holy Spirit to come into your life and to fill you with your life, you don't have to get better than you already are. I got just a few right there. And then some people, what they'll say is that my life is not clean enough yet. Well, how do you want to get it cleaner? Well, God's not going to give me the Holy Spirit, evidence must be, because I got some other stuff I need to straighten out of my life. Well, how do you think you're going to get it straightened out? If you could do it on your own, then why would you need Jesus in your life? And why would there be a power connected to the Holy Spirit if we could just do this thing on our own? Because whenever I was born again in November of 1989, and immediately, because I had grown up in a Pentecostal church, and some of y'all may know what that is, but they were a tongue-talking church. The only reason those churches existed was to get you talking in tongues. It was everything. It was the Holy Spirit talking in tongues was the whole deal. And that's okay if that was the revelation that they had. But I was born again in November of 1989. I began to read my Bible, and I read about the Holy Spirit talking in tongues. And I said, okay, God, this is something that I want in my life. And I began to pray for it, and I began to ask God for it. And I don't know why in my mind I thought it was such a hard thing to receive. I don't know why in my mind I thought it would be such a difficult thing. I thought that maybe somehow or another God had to perfect me more. I had to become a more better person, that there were some other things left out of my life that needed to be put in, because I would pray and I would say, Lord, I'm praying for the Holy Spirit. I want the Holy Spirit in my life. And you have to understand, in those days I was praying 2 hours a day. I'd pray an hour in the morning. I'd pray an hour whenever I got home, and I would read my Bible all the time. I'd witness to whoever I could. And I'd say, Lord, I need the Holy Spirit. And I couldn't remember, you know, Bob, I would pray. I'd be on my knees and I'd say, Lord, give me the Holy Spirit. And then I'd look up, waiting for something, and then nothing would happen. I went to several churches, and whenever they said, if you want the Holy Spirit, step out, and they'll pray for you, they come by, and they would do all of that, and I never spoke in tongues, right? And I think we ought to understand that there's a difference between you being filled with the Spirit and you speaking in tongues. And what I failed to understand was that the speaking in tongues part and receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I had complicated it in my life. Because I put up all these things that I thought that God needed to do or I needed to do before I could really receive that. And then after I prayed one time and I didn't really feel anything, right? I didn't feel anything. Then I thought maybe somehow or another God didn't love me as much as everybody else. Now here's the one thing that struck my attention whenever the night that I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, evidenced by speaking in other tongues, the man who prayed for me quoted the scripture in Acts chapter 19, and he says, whenever I lay my hands on you, you're going to speak in other tongues as the Holy Spirit fills you. He put his hand on my head, and the next thing I know, all these words come out that I didn't understand. They just began to come out of me like a river, just flow. And on the inside of me, there was like the part of me that was doing that, and then there was the part of me that was listening to what was going on. And the first thing that struck my mind, I said, well, that's so easy. Why did I make it so hard? Why did I make it so difficult? And I did because of the way that I thought about it, right? So what I'm saying to you today, because at the conclusion of the service, for those of you that need to go home, you can go home. But for those who want to receive the Holy Spirit, evidenced by speaking with other tongues, we're going to do exactly what Acts chapter 19 said. We're going to lay hands on you. We're going to pray. And we're going to believe that you're going to receive the fullness of the Spirit. Amen. Now watch this. I believe that whenever a person asks, and you can disagree with me if you want to, but whenever a person asks for the Holy Spirit comes. Amen. Because he says that it would. How much more will your Heavenly Father give the Spirit to those who ask? And if you ask, amen, the Holy Spirit should come. Amen? And then the tongues will come as a result of that if we don't complicate it. I've seen people shut off what the Holy Spirit was trying to do because they were either afraid of it or they didn't understand it. They didn't know what to do, so they just walked away from that. But I'm telling you, you can receive today. You can receive everything. Now watch this. Now, watch this. Okay. We're doing okay on time? Okay, I'll do this really quick. Now, watch this. So here's my question. Why tongues? Why tongues? You know, out of everything you could pick, you know, maybe make me jump up and down. That would be a whole lot easier, right? Maybe have me fall out. But why tongues? Why would God choose using my mouth as a way to say I have the Holy Spirit? Amen? Now, that's not the only way, but according to what we've read so far, people speaking in tongues was evidence to the people who were there at the beginning of it that they had received the Holy Spirit. Right. Everybody got that? If you got it, say amen. Everybody in the back, say amen. Okay. So watch this. So my question was, but why tongues? What's the point of this particular manifestation in our lives? So I'm going to give you a kingdom principle, and then we're going to look at words. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, I believe there's a reason why God chose tongues. Let me say it another way. I believe there's a reason why God chose your mouth. Say that, right? There's a reason why he chose words. Matthew chapter 12, and let's look at verse number 36. He says this, I'm in Mark chapter 12, so that won't be any good for me. Matthew chapter 12, and we'll go to verse number 36. And let's see what it says here. He says, but I say unto you, now this is a kingdom principle. He says, I say unto you that every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. Verse 37, for by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Amen? So he says here, the words that come out of your mouth are very, very important, not only to your life here, but in the life to come. Amen? So let me say it just a little bit different. Everything in your life is a byproduct of what you believe and you say. Now, you don't have to believe that, but it's really true. If you took a moment to listen to what you're saying, what's coming out of your mouth, it's creating your world the same way it did for God over in Genesis chapter 1. God said, and it was. You say, and it is. Because the mouth is the tool that God gave us to create in our world. Because the mouth is the only way to bring something from the unseen into the seen. You can take a revelation God shares in your heart and release it into your world through your mouth. Woo, hallelujah. It could be that a lot of negative stuff you're going through in your life is because you've been secretly confessing that you've been agreeing with what's been happening and taking place rather than speaking to the mountain and telling the mountain to be removed in your life. Amen. And this thing about being a Christian, there is some discipline to it. I know this is a D word. I know it's an ugly word, but there's some discipline to it. You got to pay attention to what you say out of your mouth. You want to kill a relationship? Just start saying some crazy stuff. I saw something on the program yesterday. I saw something. It's somebody that I know has a ministry, and they're on the radio now, called Surprisingly Single Sisters. Right? Surprisingly Single Sisters. And they decided to bring some brothers onto the program. And they had this one brother that they kind of zeroed in. And the question that they presented to the brother was that, you know, is it okay at any point for a man to cheat on his wife? At that point, I texted him. I said, leave, man. Get out of the building as fast as you can. It's a setup. Because he said, well, you know, if she don't want to be with me in bed for a long period of time, well, yeah, I kind of guess it is. And he should not have said that. Because she said, well, whenever you get older and you can't perform no more, is it okay for her to go find somebody? And he didn't know what to say. I said, you need to go, man. He should have left that building like his hair was on fire. Right? And it's your words that condemn you. It's your words that justify you. So you have to understand that you don't have a mouth for eating. You have a mouth for saying and confessing. Amen? Now watch this. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians 14. I promise you I'm not going to hold y'all up much longer, only just for the time I need you. And 1 Corinthians 14. Now go there with me. Now watch this. Look what it says here. Now again, we're talking about how the Holy Spirit comes relative to it, there being an evidence of speaking with other tongues, speaking in an unknown language. And then now we're saying, why does God use that method to do that? So he says here in chapter 14, 1 Corinthians 14, and verse number 2, he says, for he who speaks in a tongue, again, and this is Paul writing this. So Paul is the same man that we read in Acts chapter 19 that laid hands on them and they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, evidence with speaking with other tongues. And he says here, for he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. All right? It says, for no one understands him. However, in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. Amen? Now, what kind of mysteries is he speaking? He's speaking spiritual mysteries because tongues is spiritual conversation. Amen? Verse number 4 says this, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. Now, Paul's trying to address several different issues going on in here within the Corinthian church, but I think the principles that we can pull out of this is that, number one, is that whenever a person is speaking in tongues or praying in tongues or singing in tongues, that's a conversation they're having with God. Amen? And that in the process of that, you're edifying yourself. Now, I would say by experience, that's exactly true. Whenever I pray in the Spirit, whenever I pray in tongues, whenever I sing in the Spirit, I really get edified out of it. I need somebody who's been edified before to say amen. Right? It's a benefit for me as much as it is I'm speaking mysteries in the kingdom of God. Now, he says here in verse number 15 as well. Drop down to verse number 15 with me. He says, what is the conclusion then? He says, I will pray in the Spirit. And whenever he's talking about praying in the Spirit, he's again talking about praying in tongues. And I will also pray with the understanding. You get that? So he says, I can pray in my own language, and then I can pray in the Spirit. And he says, and I will sing in the Spirit. Again, has anybody ever walked through Kroger's before singing under your breath in the Spirit? H-E-B or wherever you may be at your job, praise God, and you're just kind of underneath there, and really you don't care whether or not somebody hears you or not, because, I mean, you're getting all edified and everything on the inside, right? Amen? Now watch this. He says, I will also sing with the understanding. So what he's telling us here is that there's these two components that we have going on, is that we're talking to God and we're getting edified, and that we can not only pray, but we can sing in the Spirit as well as in our own understanding. Amen? And we can go in between, back and forth, and whatever the case may be. Because really, if you understand everything about it, what happens is whenever a person prays in the Spirit, it's exactly that. They're praying in the Spirit. Not here. That's whenever he says, whenever you pray with your own understanding, that's you formulating the sentences that you're going to talk to God about out of your own understanding, out of your own beliefs, and even out of your own fears. Amen? But when you pray in the Spirit, you bypass this. This is not a part of what's coming out of your mouth. Amen. Now go with me to Jude chapter 20. Jude chapter 20. We touched on this just a little bit on Wednesday night, but I wanted to expand it just a little bit here today. Jude chapter 20. That's going to be that little book right there in front of Revelation. So you just go all the way back there to the maps, go back a little bit the other way, and then you'll find Jude. And I said chapter 20, but there's not 20 chapters in Jude. There's 25 verses in Jude. It's just one book, very short letter that he wrote. And he's really great, great letter. But he says here in Jude 20, if you're there, say amen. Amen. He says, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Again, he's making reference to praying in this unknown language. Amen. And he says that part of what it's doing is that it's building up your most holy faith. Amen. And I think the correlation that I bring out of this is that whenever we're praying in the Holy Spirit, what we have the capacity to do is that because it's missing our mind is not engaged in it, then what we're doing is that the Spirit is doing something in us, communicating to God that has no unbelief and doubt in it. Because my understanding's not involved in it. I'm speaking mysteries to God, and I'm speaking mysteries into the world by praying in the Holy Spirit. However, whenever I began to pray out of my own understanding, I could begin to talk to God about the things that I'm afraid of, and God can speak to me, and I can come back and say, well, God, I'm not really sure I can do that. But whenever I'm praying in the Spirit, it's holy faith. It's me releasing faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So as I'm beginning to release this out of my spirit, praise God, it's really not tainted with my unbelief and my doubt. It's not mixed in with my fears and the issues that I have in my life because it's spirit to spirit. That's right. Amen? And also not only that, is that God can use it coming out of my spirit to begin to address spiritual things in my life even though I can't see what's going on in my life. These words can have impact on the things that are going on around me. Amen? No. Watch this right here. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm almost done. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Hallelujah. Glory, glory. I'm telling you, some people walk in some power and anointing and grace, praise God. I'm simply saying to you this morning that there's an opportunity for you to go into another dimension in the realm of the Spirit by bringing this into your life in a very real way. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Now, we've got to get over here and deal with kingdom principle, right? Kingdom issues here. And so he says here in verse number 9, love these passages right through here. But he says in verse number 9, 1 Corinthians 2, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them, what? To us. How? Through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all the things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Verse number 12, he says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Now you got to catch this with me. Watch this right here. He says, now we have received what? Not the spirit of the world. Because the spirit of the world only knows the things of the world. Amen? But we have received what? The Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been what? Freely. Everybody say freely. Does it cost you anything? Did it cost Jesus something? It did. Freely given to us by God. Now, it's the responsibility of the Holy Spirit to reveal what God has prepared for you that is yet to enter into your heart, into your mind, into your ears, what he prepared for you before the world was ever formed, praise God. Now, why does he use the Holy Spirit? He uses the Holy Spirit because if you'll remember that the Bible says when God got ready to create, it was the Spirit of God who hovered over the face of the waters. So when everything was being created that is created, the Holy Spirit was there knowing where all of that stuff was at. And so he's the best guy that can show you that out of creation, whenever he created what was created, he's the best one to show you where it's all at. Because he's the one who put it there, praise God. So then you say, how does he do that? Verse number 13, he says, these things we also speak not in words, which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. He's saying the words we're using here are spiritual words, which can only mean, if we go back into context of our scripture, is that he's using words that come from the Spirit. So whenever you're praying in the Spirit and you're praying in tongues, and sometimes you don't even know what you're praying, you don't even know what you're saying, it could be that God is releasing a manifestation out of your spirit into your world, showing you those things that he has freely given to you. Amen? Using your words as they come from the Holy Spirit. Verse number, go with me to Romans in the last scripture. OCL, go ahead and come back and see me if you would. Where did I say to turn? Romans chapter 8. Go with me to Romans chapter 8, praise God. Hallelujah. I'm done, just almost done, praise God. If I was in the Philippines, we'd just be getting started. And I like Romans 8, and let's go to verse number 26, because it says in 26, he says, likewise, everybody say likewise.
Likewise,
the Spirit also helps. What is he doing? In our weaknesses. Best thing you can do whenever you get weak in the Spirit is to pray in the Spirit. Amen? Next time you're struggling, turn off your mind. Turn on the Spirit and pray until you get edified. Oh, I'm going to say that one more time. Pray until you start edifying yourself. Till you know your prayers are reaching up to heaven. Touching a God who is concerned with what worries you. So that you can get to the place where you can cast all your cares on him. You can do all of that in the realm of the Spirit. Never know a thing, never understand a thing that you prayed, but it's spirit to spirit. He goes on to say here, he says, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. How is he doing that? He's doing that through you. And he says here in verse number 28, you got to take this home with you. And we know that all things work together for the good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Amen? So there's a very definite work of the Holy Spirit in your life. And there's a, I'm just going to say it this way, is that there's an added component that sometimes we miss because sometimes it's been misrepresented to us. It's been, we've been misinformed about it. But there's a deeper place that you can go into the Holy Spirit if you choose to. Amen. I want to go back and say this to you again. I believe that whoever asks the Lord to fill him with the Holy Spirit, he does. He does. But then at that point, it becomes about a deeper walk with the Lord, going deeper with him. Amen. And as I said earlier before, I said this before, is that the night that I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, it was just the strangest sensation to me that it was so easy to receive the Holy Spirit. Amen. So let's do this. Let's all stand for just a moment here, and I'm going to pray for everybody, and then we're going to stay here and we're going to minister to those who may or may not want to receive this in their life. But I've committed to pray for whoever would like that, and I want some people here who have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, know how to pray in tongues, to stay with us, and we're just going to come around and we're just going to release that into people's lives today. But let's bow our heads today. And let's set our spirits right now. Let's set our hearts right now to a place to just to receive this anointing that I feel in here right now. I feel the presence of Jesus right now. And I just want to speak a word over your life and over your heart today to let you know that God is truly working in you. He's working through you. He's ready to bring his glory. I say he's ready to bring his glory. He's wanting you to step into his glory. He's wanting you to step into the things that he has for you in your life. And I just want to encourage you today that, yes, you really are the one that he picked. You really are the one that he chose. You really are the one that he's working in. You're not here by accident today. He brought you here for a specific reason and a specific purpose. And he has some more things for you in your life, but there has to come a day that you have to let go of who you are. You got to let go of you and lay hold of him. And it's in him that you'll find your life. It's in him you'll find the fullness of everything that God has for you in your life. And not only can you experience the power and the manifestation of the Holy Spirit in your life, but there's so many other things that you'll begin to experience. And we're going to talk about that over the next just couple of weeks in continuing out this series. But I want you to know that the peace of God resides within you. The love of God resides upon you and in you. And that you are accepted into the Beloved. God did really choose you. I know that maybe might dumbfound you, and you might think, you know, if God was choosing, he could have picked somebody better. You can think that, but it doesn't take away the fact that he did choose you. So you have to deal with that in your life. He did accept you. And Father, we come to you this morning, and we thank you, Lord, for doing some things that we could not do on our own, for making some realities possible for us in our lives. And Lord, I pray for every person that's in this place today that they would begin this journey of going deeper with you, moving into a deeper dimension, a greater way with you, Father God. We've not come to have just something that's a surface kind of Christianity, a religion that's based out of tradition. But Father, we've come to enjoin a living, vital relationship with the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. We've come to be seriously impacted by you. We've come saying that we're hungry and thirsty, that you are our passion today, even as we were your passion.